in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. The only place in the entire Bible that I'm aware of, all the New Testament part of it, we are given a format, the only format I'm familiar with, on having a church service. And beginning in verse 26, it says, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done decently, or unto edifying." Well, the thing is, it doesn't appear to me that this is talking about a large service or a large church. And because it says every one of you has, you know what I mean? And I'm kidding, of course, because it wouldn't have to be everyone doing something, but it does show a body ministry type of a thing that we're not really familiar with. And what we have in a lot of cases is we have a dictatorship. And we have done everything that we can to pull away from that. And because God wants to speak through the body. That's what the body is for. And from verse 26 all the way to 33 is a church service. So in verse 27 it says, "If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or by at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God." It didn't say don't quit speaking in tongues. It says let him speak to himself and to God. And of course, if we go back to verse 2 of chapter 14, it says, "If any man speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries." Well, anyway, so then it says in verse 29, "Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the others judge." Judge? I don't think so. You're not going to judge me. Oh, yeah. I better be open for judgment. And if anything, now listen to this. "If anything be revealed to another that sits by," we're talking about a revelation happening right during the service. "If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace, that ye all may prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted." See, learn it, learn and comfort. Well, edification. So, anyway, you know what has started to happen? And even though we don't look at ourselves as prophets, we are starting to get revelations, a lot of them, right during the service. And they're edifying, and we learn. I have learned so much. I have gone through a learning process in the last several weeks that I think eclipses anything that has happened to me in any even longer period of time. You know why? Because the word is beginning to be revealed. And it's not happening because of us. It's not happening because of any one of us. It's happening because the Holy Spirit is beginning to get involved. And that's what we want. And so anything, it says, the Spirit, verse 32, "The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all of the churches of the saints." God is the author of peace. Okay. Now, in 2 Corinthians, chapter, and I was talking to the girls about that this morning. It says in verse 16, "We know no man after the flesh." We know no man after the flesh. I thought the flesh is the man. How is it that we don't know any man after the flesh? Because the flesh is not the man. The flesh is the house of the man. And when the house is dissolved and gone, the man is still there. You know, there's a scripture that says the spirits of just men made perfect. Well, they're still alive, but they're dead. You know what I mean? Because when I die, I'm still a man. But the soul will depart from this, whatever this is. Well, anyway, I have learned more about this area of it in the last few weeks than I've ever known. But anyway, and then it says, even though we have known Christ after the flesh, we don't know Him anymore after the flesh. So, how do we know Him then? In verse 17, this is 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. It says in, I think in King James it says creation. I think in the other translation it says creature. Same thing, but. And old things are passed away, and behold, and that, I'd like to put an emphasis on that. Behold, all things are become new. And I'm wondering how we're doing, how people do with that. We have, in verse 18, we have been reconciled unto God by Jesus Christ and have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And then in verse 19, which is that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. That's in verse 19. And so, anyway, that's one thought pattern. Next one. And these things keep coming. You know, my thoughts are, if we're looking for an easy way into the kingdom of God, you probably won't find it. And if we want to go hand in hand with other people into the kingdom, that probably won't happen either. And if we look to people to help us, that probably won't happen. Because if we have our eyes on anyone else except Christ, we're on our own. Are you following what I'm saying? The only way that we have been given, He says, I am the way, I'm the door, I'm life. And so, as such, I have to keep my eyes off from you. And let me tell you what, that is a very difficult thing for me to do. It's very difficult. Because the tendency is to, you know, in this whatever position I'm in, is to look at people that are part. I mean, now we're dwindling down to this, just those in the white room and those that are becoming serious. You know, when I heard that voice 17 years ago, 18, whatever it was, the first statement that was made was, if you're really serious. And you think, well, what kind of a comment is that? I have thought about that statement so many times in the last 17 years. Because I have said, you know, Peter said when Jesus said that he was going to be, you know, taken captive and whatever else, and Peter said, I'll never forsake you, I'll never leave you. And Jesus said, Peter, you don't know your own nature, you don't know who you are, because before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me that you know me. Well, anyway, I have said, and you probably have too, more than once, Lord, I'm serious. It doesn't matter what anybody else does, I'm serious. And how many times that I have forgot my seriousness, you know what I mean, over the years. And so the voice said, if you're really serious. And that has come back to haunt me for the last 17 years a number of times. And then finally, God started getting us to a place of seriousness. And it's not leaning on people.
It's starting to lean on Him. It's beginning to work with James 4:7, you know. Submit to God. Submit to God. Actually submit to God. And then if you do, you can resist the devil and he'll flee. And then it says, draw nigh to God. And you know what? I have never really acknowledged that until not that long ago. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. A relationship starts in the spirit realms that is strange and wonderful. But anyway, I have to keep my eyes off of you. And you know what? It is hard to do. It's hard to do. Are Corky and Susan, are they okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're okay.
How about Charlie and Jean? How about Ken? Ken's off wandering today. I mean, where's he at? That was funny a couple weeks ago. And Ken was up here and he was making this statement. He said that, I just really feel like I'm the reason that we're not further along in the church. And anyway, I couldn't resist to him. And I said, I'm so glad to find out that it was Ken that's holding us back. Because all this time I thought it was me. And, of course, he got a kick out of that. But that's what we do. And it's like, I'm the problem. You know? And then here's Glenn and Barb. Every service when they're in the area and up at the campground, and I'm saying, how are they doing? Well, you know what? They're doing great. How's Candy and Pablo doing? I tell you what, we got to get our eyes on Jesus and keep it there. I can't look at you. I can't look at numbers. I can't whatever else. You know what? God is doing a phenomenal thing in this little handful of Podunkville people. And anyway, I'm going to sit down. Or fall down, but whichever comes first.
Keith was talking about the church service there in 1 Corinthians 14. And put me in mind a little bit of the church services that are going on this morning, where the big issue is crowd control, making sure you get everybody into the pews in a nice orderly way, you know. Everybody moved to the middle, and you know. And what goes on up front is kind of professional entertainment almost, you know, good jokes, very amusing. And I hesitate to be too critical of that, you know. Maybe something good happens in those services, maybe. I'm glad I'm here, though, you know. I'm glad I'm here. That church service there in 1 Corinthians 14, it does talk about everybody. Well, there's not much everybody going on in a, you know, when you've got a cast of thousands. You got, everybody is maybe a couple guys lined up in the back there, you know. And I appreciate this. Now, yeah, it'd be nice to have more, but I sure like this. I sure like this. I like it. I just like it. I like it. Keith was talking about being serious. Well, I'm intermittently serious, I think. But You know, there's a process going on. And maybe I'm being not quite fair to myself. I don't know. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm being more than fair. Intermittent, a little more like sporadic, or, you know, but I don't know. You know. but anyway, there's a process. And it wouldn't, you know, it's a process very possibly without observation, without you knowing what the heck's going on, you know. The work of the Spirit is like that. Keith was saying that it's not easy. And it's not easy, except that it is totally easy. You know, the work of grace is so easy. Easy. Grace is so easy. Now there's a whole lot of hard involved in the thing, too. You know, it's a funny mix somehow, isn't it? But, oh, he is good. You know, that without merit means without merit. Without merit. It wasn't because I did it real right. It's, you know, it's his doing. And so, yes, it's hard, but it's easy.
I have been eager to get up here. This is my On the Road Bible. I'm not texting, not tweeting. It's scripture right there. So, I'm here to honor my mother and father. And this little building here and this beautiful group of people is just a drop in the bucket of the legacy. Of the legacy that you bring and that you'll leave. I have this amazing, beautiful life. I live by the ocean. I have really the most beautiful children on the planet. Except maybe Shelley's. Maybe. And I wake up every morning with so much gratitude in my heart. I actually do have made it a practice for the last 15 years. When I wake up before I move, I thank God for whatever it might be. Oftentimes it's just that I woke up. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, I woke up. Thank you for another day, for the sunshine. There's not a morning that you aren't saying my thank you prayer. There's just not. Thank you for my beautiful parents who adopted me into their life. Thank you. If it weren't for you two, I would not have my beautiful life. There's no way. There's no way. And I thank the Lord every day for you. And my children, my son is a music director in a church, and my daughter and her husband are on fire for the Lord because of the legacy. And I'm just one of, I don't know how many kids you have. 20, 30, 40. I'm grateful beyond words. For every intents and purposes, my life should be a mess. I was adopted at birth, adopted by a family who really tried to be parents but weren't able to. So, two strikes in having parents. And two strikes in having parents and they both fail, you're pretty much going to fail yourself. And to be able to get a family that not only takes you in and loves you, but really heals all the bonds of what a child needs in a parent, is nothing short of a miracle. And it's because of how you've loved and you've extended love to everyone that you have been the absolute example of love, example of God's love, pure God's love. And that is the reason I'm whole. Without a question, that's the reason I'm whole. And that's why I thank God for you every day. There is a scripture that I just love, and I'm going to read it in Matthew 14. Jesus was out on preaching to the crowds, and as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "There's a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the village and buy themselves some food." So Joanne said, "They don't need to go away." Jesus said, "They don't need to go away. Give them something to eat." "Well, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. "Bring them here to me," Joanne said, Jesus said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to the heaven, gave thanks. Was 5 loaves and 2 fishes enough to feed 5,000? Did he give thanks anyway? He gave thanks anyway. He gave thanks for what was not enough. There wasn't enough, and he gave thanks. And after giving thanks, there was enough to feed the 5,000. And this, it could have been you saying that in that scripture. "Bring them anyway." No, don't send them away. We have enough. We'll make enough. And you give thanks, and you have shared, and you have given all that you had. And there's always been enough. There's always been enough. Because you've thanked the Lord for what you have. You've been beautiful, exemplary examples of what it means to give and to love unconditionally. And this little group, there's these many people on the planet all over because of you, because of the love, and because of trusting God when a little doesn't seem like enough. Oh, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, 10 people can be enough. If you're grateful, if you're thankful, thank God for the blessing of this little bit. Be enough to feed 5,000. I love you both so much. And I'm so grateful to be able to honor you and love you and be part of your family. And what God is doing here will continue to trickle in. And Shelley and I were talking this morning or yesterday or whatever, I don't remember, about how so many people, you know, they're forgotten 2 generations later. We forget their names, and your legacy will absolutely live on, absolutely. And I'm just filled with gratitude today.
I have an unofficial capacity here to kind of highlight some facts. And following up on what Keith said, you know, we are here in Podunk. But I don't know if you realize that last week we had 10% representation from south of the equator, And this week we brought in 10% of our body from the coast. And for Podunk and worried about appearances and volume, we're crushing it in social media. So just don't listen to all the naysayers here. Things are actually doing quite well.
Strong anchor in the middle of the country.
Yeah. And Podunk, we're really strong. We're really strong. That's a tough act to follow. But I guess I want to take it a slightly different direction, a couple different things. You know, all of these things that are happening are because of God. Mm-hmm. And if you look at scriptures, you know, you look at Jesus, you look at his ministry, you have to remember all of those things that happen because of God. God is certainly involved in what's going on here. And we certainly work really hard to remind ourselves that it's God. Keith was talking about how easy it is to look through natural eyes or look from the flesh perspective and try and make this all work, and it just doesn't, which is why the Word says don't do that. You know, we've really had a lot of things open up to us in the last few weeks about we have to recognize that the way we go about trying to figure out how we're doing, if we don't turn it over to the spiritual side, we just miss. We just miss it because it's easy to find fault in the natural. And it's really a mistake to try and judge. As I've said recently, even Jesus was smart enough to say, I don't judge. You know, the Amplified version is, I'm not good enough to judge. Only the Father is good enough to judge. So, if Jesus isn't good enough to judge, where do I sit on that scale? Don't even think about it. I want to testify about something that's happened here. You know, we often talk about unfolding revelations and how, you know, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And, you know, every now and then we kind of feel compelled to explain to people, you've been doing what for 18 years? And, you know, the mistake we make is we tell them we're reading the same book. We go, no, we're reading this brand new book because today it is brand new. It's brand new. And so every now and then you need to hear something or see something that happens to you in a way that you go, I can't deny that this is an unfolding revelation. I can't deny that God is doing something in me. You know, Keith brought to our attention something that had come out of a former chapelite and had us read it and pass it out. And I got it, and I read it, and it was very uplifting, very good. It had lots of things. You know, it was just very impactful. And, you know, and I was talking with Brother Charlie, and Brother Charlie goes, well, yeah, Keith had us read this like 8 years ago. And I go, no, he didn't. I was dogmatic. I was probably not as Christian in my rebuke of that as I should have been. I said, I would have remembered if I had read this 8 years ago or whatever. And Charlie's a pretty decent guy. He doesn't usually pull my leg for sport, usually. He's been much better about it lately anyways. But it got me thinking. So I said, you know, I remember Keith gave me a project several years back. And so I have history, and I've got a computer, and I've got stuff. And I go back and I look, and sure enough, in December of 11, I find this exact document that I have converted from a dual page to a singles page, 24 pages deep, scanned it into a computer, combined it back in, and made a document which Keith finds in his house after I make the 12 copies and says, you should all read this. And I'm thinking, Well, and he did, and I did, and in fact, I did. I read it. But you know, at that time, we were pretty much not willing to listen to anybody if it didn't start and finish right here. I was like, I need to look at 25 pages of this guy thinks, because that's where we were at. Now, 2 years later, yada, 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 what this guy says is pointing to scripture after scripture after scripture, and I'm going, oh, this is really pretty good. This is really, yeah, you know. Now, it wasn't the word. It's a man's interpretation of the word and all of that. But it sort of lined up with Scripture pretty well, and it impacted me quite a bit. And then I, you know, kind of went back to, you know, I haven't taken a ton of classes between 11 and 17. I haven't gone to college. I haven't been on a deep theological quest. I've just been in the Word. So why was this now really good stuff, and it's the same stuff? And, you know, it took a second to go, well, why is this really good stuff when, you know, last week it didn't make sense? And I go, yeah. Don't have to hit me over the head too many times before I go, huh. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. He who is open to God's Spirit, let him be open. He who is, or she is, opening his heart to God's will, let God come in. I guess I have to say that 7 years ago, I wasn't too open. I have to say 7 years ago, it wasn't God's time. I have to say that then was then, and today is today. And now I see what God wants me to see. Why? Not because of me. Because of Him. It's always about Him. If you stop and think about it, and you try and put our walk, our Christian walk, and you try and put it into the context that we understand, you know, and then you try and match that up with Scripture, if you're not careful, it can become very depressing, in the sense that you have a task that you can never complete. You have a task that no matter how hard you work at it, and how much you do, you're told that just meets requirements. You can never excel. You can never earn. You never gain. You can only miss. If I don't do everything possible to know the Word, then I'm not following the Word. And if I don't actively, every day, seek Him, then I'm failing to follow what's been outlined for me to follow. And that is just so, so hard for the contrary, for the flesh. It is so hard to say, I've got this task, but I can't complete it. And if I don't do this task, I'm failing. That's kind of what Scripture says if you get a little too literal. If you overlook the fact that the task is not the same task, it is changing, and God is constantly giving you things to help you get from here to there. It stops being a burden. It starts to be something that you look forward to. This recent thing about seeing something that I read but probably olayed it, you know, yeah, that's kind of interesting. I get stuff to do. And this time I'm reading it, I go, all of a sudden, you know, it's like I'm in it and I'm giving it what it needs. It's a perfect illustration to me that if I keep myself open to what God's going to do, God's going to do it. And it's a perfect illustration of how it's so easy in the flesh to miss. And I need that, because that helps keep me on point. You know, I had to apologize to Charlie, because I was pretty much like there's no way that I saw this 8 years ago, or 6 years ago. Because it was just noise. There was nothing in there that I thought was useful. Now it's kind of changed my whole walk. And it's the same thing. Except that I'm not the same. Because God's not done with me. It's not done with you. And it's exciting. You know, our fellow Christians who are out there today are kind of looking for miracles. They're looking for signs and wonders. They're looking for ways in the natural to justify that the power of God is working and that they are truly aligned with what He wants. Yet, He comes without observation, and He doesn't have to do anything more for me than to point out how what I thought was not okay is really okay. That's a miracle. It's not one that I can really share with other people. It's not really one that's going to convert or convince other people that, okay, oh, that's a miracle. That's not, you know, loaves and fishes to feed 5,000, which we all go, oh, can't, that doesn't make sense. That's a miracle that is for me. And therefore, it's a miracle that really, really is impactful. Because it's to bolster my walk. And I appreciate that because it's too easy to slip. It's too easy to get caught up in the natural and not be able to go forward. One last thought and I'll sit down. It's interesting how you can pick up the 6 or 7 or 8 things you sort of need. And then it's the ones that come along that are behind that are so powerful. I have been trying to figure out how the perfection can dwell within this imperfection. You know, if God didn't move until we were perfect, God would never move. So you know that that has to happen. And I've been trying to wrestle in myself, trying to say, well, how is this happening? How is this possible? And I'm concluding it really comes down to heart. But there's the other things that we've been talking about. It's heart, but it's heart with truth. It's heart with faith. It's heart with hope. You want to be seeking God's will and doing His will as Christ did. But not because it's a task list. Not because it's not done it. Because that isn't how it works. So I'm just excited that God is continuing to show me things that's opening up my heart so I can get more of Him. Because that's truly what I need.
About 15 years ago, after we had, I had had this experience and knew that we need to be listening to the Scripture day and night, I aimed it at me. I'm the one it needed to be. But it kind of caught on, and others started doing the same thing. Well, anyway, we made a number of trips out to Seattle and shared it with a lot of people. I felt to do it. And some of them, I think, are still involved in the listing and so forth. But we went and talked to Jamie Hansen a number of times. Jamie Hansen had an expression that I want to use in relationship to what Corky just said. And he said, you know, that's really simple. He said, that is ironic. Ever hear him say that, Kelly? That is, you know, big Jamie Hansen, that is ironic. That is so ironic. And I thought, this is an ironic thing. Joanne ran across this article by Gilbert Olson, and I don't know how we got it for sure. Did you send it to us, Shelley? Or you don't know? And anyway, And a number of years ago, it was, for some reason, I gave it to Corky to make some copies of it. Okay? So he made a number of copies of it, and we had them filed at our house. And Joanne just ran into it the other day. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like what happened back in the Old Testament when they lost the Bible. They lost the Word of God. And they were digging through the ruins, and they found the Word. That's kind of what happened to us. You know, through the ruins of the church and all of the strange things of the church, God zeroed in on the Word for us again. But anyway, so here is Corky made all of these copies. And so this long after those are made, we find them in our house, and I give him a copy that he made. Is that ironic or not? You know what? He didn't remember he made it. But it was impacting. It was impacting. It's called, what was it called? God in Man? And that is a mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Second Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. John 14:9-10. In 9, Jesus says, he says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Everybody said, oh, I get it. But they don't get it. I didn't get it either. So verse 10, then he explains it. He says, God is, can't you understand, God is in me doing the works? God was in Christ reconciling the world. In the times past, God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. Was God in the prophets? In these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son. What happened? Back in Leviticus, back in Deuteronomy 18, God told Moses, he says, I am going to put my words in his mouth, the prophet that I'm going to raise up that's like unto you, Moses. I put my words in his mouth. We miss it. Corky, I'm old. But how did you miss that? That was funny. I tell you what, when I went out 15 years ago or so, Gilbert Olson was at a number of those fellowships we had. Why didn't he ever tell me this? Or if he did, I never heard it. You know what I mean? So now after all of this time, he gives us, we get this thing, it is phenomenal. We're not living by that. But it is a phenomenal insight that he got that we're just getting. God in man. God being spirit, who is everywhere present, who is so awesome that his ways are past finding out, that says, don't make any graven image of me because you can't do it. There's no way to understand him. But something inside starts to draw close to him, and then they feel him starting to draw close. He's right here. And then we feel his presence starting to draw close to us. And I tell you something, what happened, I better share that, even though I want the girls to... Corky had this tune for some reason. That was not the reason? It wasn't. He said it's not the reason. But anyway, we have had some major, major things. I told Glenn a little while, I will share it with him. I'll say something about it. But Pablo and Candy pulled a faith surprise on everybody, and especially me. And discerned a spiritual force
that was in Dominic or in Pablo that we prayed, as we prayed the other day, it came out. And it was like we could hear the thing leave. And he was in such dire pain for a whole week. And his mother and his stepfather were here from Chile. And they were beside themselves. You know, he's got to go to a doctor. He has to go to a doctor. He's got to go to a doctor. It wouldn't have been wrong to go to the doctor. But they said, no, that's not what this is. They discerned it. And so after a week of horrible pains, on that Sunday morning, he was in here. We prayed for him. And I think he walked almost home and he come back. And he come in here. And by then it was just a few people left. And so we prayed for him, and then he did something that woke me up. And as he's praying, all of a sudden he realizes this is a spirit. And he says, whatever spirit, he said, I want you to leave my body. I want you to leave my body now, he said. And it's like it was like I could hear something happen. Like a windy thing, you know what I mean? I don't know exactly what happened. By the time he got home, it was almost all gone. The next morning, it was gone. Well, here's his mother and his stepfather, and they're beside themselves because he should have gone in and got help. But they realize this is not something that that the doctor's going to fix. This is a spirit. So the next time that I saw Miguel, before that, I could tell he was just kind of standoffish a little bit because we were approaching this thing wrong. And I tried to say, Miguel, I'm not approaching it anyway. I'm letting them do what they want to do. I don't tell people in here to do what. And so after the last service, Miguel is in. He was totally different. And the last time I saw him, he hugged me and he wouldn't let go. He was just hung on to me. And he says, that's faith, isn't it? I said, yeah, that's what faith is. And so guess what Miguel is doing? In Chile, he's listening to the scriptures. Okay, Shelley.
You may call this Podunkville. I call this an oasis. This is my annual retreat. And one of my favorite things to do. People say, oh, what are you going to do with your parents? And I said, oh, maybe fishing. Oh, it's been a long time since we've gone fishing. But it gives them an idea of what we do in Chippewa Falls. You know, go fishing. But my favorite thing to do all year long is to come here in an oasis. You know what I love about you? You might not know this. You are not encumbered by the cares of the world. Oh, I love that. Boy, oh boy, do I love that. You know what I love? I love your hunger. I love your hunger for the truth and for his word. And I don't know why this popped into my head, but some of you know the series, The Hunger Games. It's a movie series. And forget what it's about. I think so much of the church world thinks that the points are given, the award, the reward is for I don't need to define it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. We all set criteria of what success is, what achievement is. And I laugh any time and every time I'm talking either to mom and dad or to someone and say, well, we don't have a lot of people. And I'm thinking, you don't even get points for that. I mean, that's not, and I don't want to reduce it to points, but you know what I'm saying. That's not the goal. The goal is hunger. Because while Charlie may get up or, oh, great. I can't remember. was it maybe Charlie
who you said that you hadn't quite achieved, or that you were, what's the word that you used? Oh, Ken Betcher. Yes, Ken. That's why I can't remember saying. Ken saying that he feels like he's been holding back. Don't we all feel that? And it's not what it really is about. What it really is about is having that hunger. I want truth. And it's shedding some of those extra things. And they're things that they're not going to be seen. It's not like, you know, just having come through the airport where I have no idea what they're getting an x-ray of. But whatever it is, whatever they see, it's not hanging on us. You know, the jewels. And Tammy, I love your honoring of mom and dad and every child, whether it was a natural child or an adopted child, every child who came to this body as an adult, every child that you two have fathered and loved, every single one feels that love, and it was never done for you. It was always done out of a father's heart of giving and of love. That the commodity isn't what you get. I'm thinking in Proverbs. It says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." The commodity is that your children would come to know the truth. That's what's important. And Dad was just saying this morning that verse where they're asking, telling Jesus that your mother and brethren are here. And Dad says, and then Jesus said, well, have them come on in. That's not what he said. My mother and my brethren are those who hear the word of God and do it. And that's what this oasis, this retreat, what I believe is it's going to stay exactly the way it is until it's time, because those who hunger for truth, they're not going to need a map, and there's going to be wherever else there's groups that have not bowed to the prophets of Baal. You know what I mean? We don't know who they are. I don't think it's important for us to know how many people. I don't think it's important. You know, what is that to you? What is that to you? It's not your job. Our job is to be hungry, hungry for truth and righteousness. That's our job. It's not to, and no one's holding anyone else back. We're all on the same journey of, Lord, I want to be hungry. Oh, that I might know him. Mm-hmm. Oh, that I might know him. That's the Hunger Games. That's the calling. And when I get to come here every year, and next year, a bunch of us are going to come back in February. You're all invited. We're going to have a big birthday party celebration for someone who's turning 80. Someone who's turning 60. coming here every year, it's that oasis. And it feels what it feels like. It's the washing of the water of the word, my favorite thing, and I look so forward to this. Sitting at the table in the morning, if I'm sleeping on the couch, I just have to commute from the couch to the kitchen table, and Dad is there working on his notes and just talking. And every time I call, the favorite part of our conversation, once we talk about who's doing what and what's going on and everybody's okay, is the latest revelation. That hunger that hasn't left you, and all of you, that hunger that hasn't left, do you know how rare that jewel is? Do you know how rare it is to hold on to the truth? You know how blessed we are that the cares of the world, they just It's not what we're after. And how blessed we are that those cares, they're kind of not even in the equation so much. What a rich, eternal blessing that we have. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. And I love our chats. I feel like the luckiest girl in the world when I call home. That's what we talk about. Talk about the Lord. Almost excessively. I love that. Oh, I love that hunger. And that is one of the big legacies that the two of you and all your children and those that this body, that's the lasting legacy. I have no idea what God's going to do with it. I have no idea. But what I do know is it's alive. It's alive. And it goes beyond the lives that touched. You know, Tammy talks about the different lives that are impacted. It's not for our glory. That's not what it's about. The glory is that hunger. I think that that is what sets those that are hungering after the truth. That's what sets us apart. It's not the achievement. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's not achieving anything. What's with that? And how will we know? How will we know when we've achieved it? You know what I'm saying? It's that hunger. Because God's already got his plan. He already knows what tomorrow brings, and the next day, and the next day, and what he plans to do in us. What he's looking for are those empty vessels. Mm-hmm. And that is a prayer of my heart. And every time I get to come, and just, I love those Sunday nights. You just don't even know. And the messages. Corky, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I feel connected. It just renews my spirit, and it makes me, I just can't wait to be able to come and just rest in the oasis and be washed by that water of the Word, and sitting at the table and just talking. That creates hunger, and that's the lighthouse. We're to be a light. Not that we have anything that can illuminate anything. What we are is a lighthouse showing who, if you're hungry, this is where you're going to get filled. He who is hungry, come and get filled. Week after week after week after week after week after week. That's what it is. And I love you. I love you so much, and I appreciate you. And this is my spa when I come here.
I wanted to respond a little bit to what Tammy brought. Tammy's story has been kind of like a parable for me. You know, Jesus told parables to make a point. And I think if, you know, you got a world out there that's dark, it's cold, it's dangerous, you know, the storm is swirling around, and you get a little house where it's warm and light and safe, and I think of that as being Tammy's situation, you know, in this little house that was light and warm and safe while the winter storm is howling around outside. I've always thought that about Tammy, and it is like a parable, and it extends to our relationship with the Lord too. It's it's cold out there, it's dark, you know, the wind is blowing, and it's dangerous. There's wolves. You know. But we are snug, you know. Maybe it's not a real fancy, you know, it's kind of a rude, small cabin, but it's warm, and it's lit up, and there's a lot of love in there. You know, it's good. It's good.
I wasn't going to get up, but and it, you know all this, but I just felt like I need to say it. The scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 that Keith read, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Two verses, right, you know, we're to be reconcilers, as Christ was a reconciler. And and really, that's the point of everything. It's all because of God. It's the Father who was in Christ. There's a Father who was in Joanne that said, oh, we got room, bring in another one. It's the Father that, it's the Father in us. And that is, you know, Ken, maybe I'm holding people back, blah, 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 that whole thing. Well, the thing is, we're supposed to be letting this Father shine through us. We're just men. Jesus Christ was a man with all the fullness of God shining through him. And Charlie says intermittent or maybe erratic. and I'm really erratic. But, you know, my heart and my hunger is to have the Father shine through. And then, so I guess I just have a challenge for you, and that is, in your own life, what would that mean? What does that mean? What does God, what is our Father wanting of each and every one of us? You know, it's, you know, Shelley's talking brownie points. No, she didn't say brownie points, but I was thinking brownie points. She was saying points. Brownie points. You know, I've done this, I haven't done this, I do this. It's none of that. It's our Father. Whatever we can do, we can't really do anything, you know, because it's unmerited. But that is the goal, and that is the hunger, to have that Father so that we can be like our big brother, Jesus Christ, who just did everything perfectly and only listened to the Father and then only spoke with what the Father said. We sang a song about that this morning. Let them see you in me. Let them hear when I speak, you know, all those things. That's our goal, and that's what we're really, really hungry for. It isn't, we've got this revelation, or we've done this, we've done that. It's, we want to know the truth, and we want it to dwell within us. I'm glad I'm here, too.
Well, it's kind of like the prodigal son coming home again. And it was good to get back. It was. I want to say something about the Ken's statement that a lot has been said about. I can't hold any one of you back. Ken can't hold anyone back. The only person I can hold back is myself. Amen. So, you know, and I just want to put that out on the record because I don't want Ken feeling like he's holding anyone, any one of us back. He's not, you know. I'd like to say one thing. I want to say God blesses those who God chooses to bless. And God has blessed Keith and Joanne with 60 years of togetherness. And that's great. You know, they never like to say, God also, I happen to turn the TV on the camper, and of course we don't get much up there. It's all airway stuff. But there was a preacher talking, and he was kind of talking in some sense, so I listened to him, and he said, only God can see today like we can, but God sees tomorrow. We do not see tomorrow. We do not know what God's going to do tomorrow. You know. And I want to say one more thing. It was good coming back home again. It was really nice. And I was praying with Charlie, and some things were given to me that I felt to pray. And it may tie in to what Keith was said about with Pablo, you know. And I just kept praying, you know, God, you know, bless the body, the soul, the heart, and the mind. And remove all that is not with the body, you know. Those were the things that was given to me when I was praying with Charlie. Like I say, it may tie in what Keith was saying, you know, about Pablo, but I think, yeah, I guess I can say that my wife and I kind of put our stuff on pause. Like, we didn't go intermediate or whatever, but we went on pause. I'll have to admit, we kind of did. But walking in here, it's like we fast forward ahead, you know. It was really great to be back. You may see more of us yet. Thank you. Congratulations, Keith and Joanne.
You're better off if you shut your eyes when I come up and don't watch. Glenn and Barb are really not on pause. It's just a long commute. You know what I mean? He's been listening to the testimonies and stuff. You know, however he does it. I'm not so illiterate in that area. I can't really tell you what he does. But he's here. And every time I think, there is much apart. So. I'm glad he came down today. I was kind of looking for the president, but I don't think he's here.
When Shelley and I were 13, 14, 15, you were way older than me then. And we lived over where the Repperts live. And I was just learning to play the piano. And we would sing in the house, and I would play the piano. And we'd sing doing the dishes. There were a lot of dishes then. I remember it always doing the dishes. And one weekend, or maybe it's multiple weekends, you said, "Are you girls going to sing at church?" And at one point, you said to us, "Until you sing at church, no more singing in the house." No more. And you put a stop to it. You said, "If you can't sing over there and give your gift to the Lord, you're not going to sing in the house." And that was really tough for us.
Was that you or was that my wife?
That was you.
Oh,
that was you. That was Keith. No. We laughed. We tried to not sing because we didn't want to sing at church. We tried not to sing for, I don't know, it didn't last a week. The next Sunday, we started singing at church. So it's probably been as long since we sang together in church as it was at that point in our lives, 14, 15 years, right? Okay, longer than that. We're not young. So we want to play and sing, but it's going to be like at home and doing dishes. So but you know what? Yeah, come up and let's be at home. Let's be in the living room.
And no guarantee. I heard this thing is tuned.
Yeah, it's
Today's your birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
Which is me.
Where's our stuff?
I don't know. I'm not trying to do that.
See? find it. There's only one place they're going to find it. The riches, the riches. It's more than I can handle. The riches. Something we're not even capable of producing in the first place. The blessing that He has, oh, and the beauty of that. I often think of those people in our life. Produce, and I'm not even talking financial gain, I'm just talking stuff. Just stuff, the things we strive for. The richest people, the spiritually richest people are the ones who no longer need that. Can you imagine not needing that? Can you imagine? I can't really, but can you imagine not needing that? And that's the group that we hear of whom the world was not worthy. Don't we just want to, when it's time, don't we just want to leave here?
Yes.
The world just doesn't satisfy. There just isn't anything that satisfies. I want to be so empty of all of it. I just want to be empty.
Yes.
And so full of His Spirit that my stuff no longer fits in my tote bag, my stuff. That it's just an empty vessel. That the only thing that fits is His Spirit breathing His Word through us. Oh, that's beautiful. I mean, that's what the world hungers for. And even those who don't look like us, those who it's easy to ostracize, we're just searching for Him. And that's where I think, you know, when Jesus went to the highways and byways, His comfort zone wasn't with the self-righteous. His comfort was in the ditches, because that's where you find those who are hungry. So sometimes we look at the ditches and point, I want to be a ditch person. I want to be the wonky one who needs Him, who needs a Savior. That's who I want to be. I know that's what you want to be. Uncle Joe and Aunt Beth. We should probably go set up sandwiches, huh? So. When peace like a river
thank you.
You to continue this on that surprise birthday party time for, you know, in February.
We'll practice.
Practice.
Practice over the internet. Over the internet.
Well, you just about you just about did me in, so. Did you ever see the cartoon characters that used to sing that happy anniversary? Anybody ever see it? The boys used to see it. They watched this a lot when we still lived in Seattle. And anyway, every time we had an anniversary, that's what they sang over and over and over and over. And over.
Anyway. And get on the small plane to fight Molly.
Okay.
I've been down there that many times.
Oh, my goodness, Larry. That's awesome.
I did. My one job did go in.
My twin daughters. What? I can't hear.
Should we sing happy birthday to Larry?
Are you sure?
Should we do that?
The airport.
Okay. Someone has a birthday today. Let's sing happy birthday. Yeah. Oh, it's you. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's sing happy birthday. Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.